Everybody, this is Cindy LeBlanc, and welcome to my podcast called My Rabbit Grace. This is podcast number 5, and it's going to be titled 10 Basic Things to Consider for Your Pet Rabbit. Let me first give you a very brief introduction. This podcast that I've created is my way of sharing my experiences with my pet house rabbits. I have had rabbits for over 12 years approximately, and I've experienced with 2 pet rabbits. One was a dwarf bunny who is now passed on, and one is with a very lively and wonderful full-sized rabbit, lop-eared mix, and her name is Grace. And I've had Grace now for a few years, and Wabbert I had for 12 years, and so in that time I encountered a lot of different experiences, and I'm here to share with other people who have rabbits or maybe aspire to have rabbits what I've learned over the years, because books can teach you one thing, but the practical experience is yet a whole nother thing. So hopefully with this podcast I hope to help others with the sharing of these experiences, and also to make life easier both for the owners of rabbits and also for the rabbits themselves. Maybe make them have a little bit better of a life, more humane, more happy, because their owners now understand them and their needs a little bit more. And maybe they'll also have a little bit more fun together. I also hope to create a community of rabbit lovers who will also share their experiences, so that I can, if people will share experiences with me that they've had, then I can put them on podcasts, whether it be through their own recordings, through interviews, or just through reading off or discussing some of the comments that people have sent to me. So, that said, let me tell you where you can find my podcast, the homepage for this. It is at http://, and now here's the address. There's no www. It's simply myrabbitgrace.podomatic.com, and that's again myrabbitgrace. It's all one word. Then there's a period. Then it's podomatic, P as in Paul, O D as in dog, O M as in Mary, A T as in Tom, I C as in Cindy, .com. So that's the homepage. But to make it even simpler, if you just like to send me a comment or a tip or one of your own experiences, my email address is cleblanc@charter.net. It's CLABLANC at charter, charter.net. So I will go on to the podcast, and you may hear pages turning. I just have a brief outline of what I'm going to talk about, and I don't want to miss any points, so you might hear some page turning a little bit, but I'll try to make it as seamless as possible. So, podcast number 5 on My Rabbit Grace. 10 basic things to consider for your rabbit. Now I'm going to name off 10 things. Now this is not a list that is complete, but it's just 10 basic things that I thought were very important. I'll probably have in future podcasts other tips, maybe 10 at a time, depends on how long they are, more tips that also might be considered basic or very important at the very least. So as I say these key basic things to consider for your pet rabbit, I'm going to say them, but I don't really mean to do them in any special order. Sometimes it may seem like, you know, that they're in a certain order because one might be more important than the other, and it could very well be that they are more important and that, but I really didn't put that forethought into it. So, first thing I want to say is the number one thing to, not number one thing, but one thing to consider would be housing. As you know, I have other podcasts, and I go into a little more detail on housing, feeding, and things like that. But this is going to be the summary version, I hope. So, housing. What I could say about that is always make sure that you have a large cage, preferably multi-level, so that the rabbit can get up and away from that ground level, which sometimes has their droppings. So the multi-level is like it has usually ramps and it has shelves. The large cage is good because nobody wants to be kept in a small space. And even though some people may say it's an animal, you always got to kind of put yourself in that situation that we probably wouldn't want to be in a cage at all. But if we do have to be in one, doggone it, let's have it be big enough that, you know, it's not just a horrendous experience. So I would say I have a rabbit cage for Gracie. She's a big rabbit. She's about close to 10 pounds, thereabouts. And I got her a Rabbit Trail Deluxe 3-level rabbit home with a stand and comfort floor. Now, what it looks like a big cube. It's about 34 inches square. So it's 34 inches wide in a square kind of fashion, and it probably stands about, I would say, 34 to 36 inches tall with the stand. And it's got the ground floor, which has got a slats on there, and it has two shelves, and she sleeps usually on the upper shelf, hangs out on the second shelf a little bit, eats her stuff on the second shelf, and sometimes I find her in the summer sprawled out on the bottom on the comfort floor. She has a separate litter box. It's one of those corner boxes, and I definitely recommend that you just don't have a cage that has no litter box. Now, rabbits love to go, most of them love to go to the bathroom in the corners. So what I do is I use a small corner box that goes right into the cage, and I've secured it. I've drilled holes in the two sides, in the corner and the upper part, and used shower clips to clip that thing onto the corner of the cage, because if I didn't clip it, and in fact my daughter once didn't clip it, and I found it to be underneath one of the shelves, and the whole cage was a complete mess. So have a corner box with, I use pine shavings, but there's other things that people can use. And some people use the compressed hay pellets, but I find that because it's just, you know, it's a small corner box, that the pine chippings work very well. I change them every single day, just having that corner litter box makes cleaning the cage a lot easier, because that's really where she goes to the bathroom. She doesn't go in any other part of the cage. I mean, you know, she has a few pellets and stuff, her little droppings that go through the floor a little bit, but it's not enough to really make it, it's not like a habit kind of thing, that they do drop a little bit of that. But as far as the urination, she does all of that and most of her other stuff in the corner tray, which is easy to clean. Sure beats cleaning the big cage all the time. That big cage I only have to clean every week. I give it a mini cleaning, and every couple of weeks I give it a big cleaning. So you want to have the cage in a quiet place so that the rabbit feels safe, and I have it as the sanctuary. I don't have small children, but if you do have small children, limit their time when they, you know, kind of poke around in the cage with the rabbit, because it's kind of the rabbit's domain. Like, for example, I'll open up the cage door at night, you know, after she's in there, and I will pet her and stuff. But my rabbit comes out all day long in the bathroom in a secure place, and so she's got a lot of movement during the day, but at night I might pet her just for a few minutes before she goes to sleep. But as far as her cage goes, I kind of let that be her domain, you know, where she can feel safe and not bothered. You want to have the cage where there's no drafts or direct sun. Sometimes people will put the cage next to a window, and it's all wonderful for them to have that, you know, the light from the thing, but just make sure that at all times of the day that it's not like the sun isn't shining in on them, baking them, because rabbits can get overheated. They aren't like people who can sweat. They will start to pant and suffer for it. You also want to make sure their cage is not real close to radiators, which could give a lot of heat and bake them basically, or right near AC units, because that cold air, blowing near them can really make them sick as well. Let's see. And if you have a big rabbit cage, maybe you could put in another rabbit, but keep in mind that it would have to probably be a pretty big cage, to have two rabbits in there, because they need to have their space. My cage would probably hold one more rabbit. It just depended on the rabbit and how territorial they were and how big the other rabbit was. But another thing to consider, if you do have two rabbits, make sure they get along. When I was a little girl, my sister and I had a rabbit, and my father would put them in a cage together, and they were both males, and they would just scratch the heck out of each other and fight. Neither one of them was neutered, and of course I was too young to know really, to even put two and two together, to be honest with you. So you don't want to put your rabbit in a situation where one rabbit might be an aggressive rabbit, where they fight and stuff like that, or God knows what else they might do together. But if one is an aggressor, it's not real cool to be stuck in a cage with somebody who's aggressive, you can imagine. I also put a teething wheel in my cage, because rabbits need to grind down their teeth. With many of the rabbits, their teeth grows. Not all of them. My two rabbits, never had the problem, but I do know a lot of people that have had problems with the teeth growing, and the wheel in there, the rabbit just uses it. I've never seen her use it, but I can see the wear on it, so she must be taking good care of keeping her teeth trimmed with it. Also, in the housing area, I always keep things in the same place, because I find my rabbit seems to like the familiarity of the litter box always being in the same corner, accessible, certainly not underneath the shelf, because they can't get in there. And the food bowl being in the same corner, and the water bowl being in the same place as well, or the water bottle, depending on what you're using. So that I found is helpful. I mean, you may find with yours that it doesn't mind things being moved around, but both my rabbits would throw a fit if I move things around and start throwing around the bowls, and they were like a juggler. The bowl in one hand with one paw and the teething wheel in another, and it just was chaos. So I've learned to put things back where I found them, so to speak. Number two, feeding. I'd like to say that you should, a good practice is to give them a handful, about a cup and a half of fresh vegetables every day. Some of the things that I give my rabbit is arugula, fresh arugula, cilantro. They love parsley. I give them a little bit of romaine lettuce. You don't want to feed them just exclusively romaine, because it's healthy, but it's not ultra healthy. I mean, it's not like the most vitamin-packed green. So I usually do kind of a mix of things. I buy maybe a bunch of parsley, cilantro, and arugula. Those are probably my basics that I keep in the fridge, and she gets a little bit each day of each at one time in the evening. I also will give her maybe every other day a baby carrot, a small one. If you feed them too many carrots, their urine can turn orange, and from all that I've read, it says that it's not necessarily a bad thing, but it does discolor them, and when they start to get discolored, then I think it's probably time you cut back with the carrots. I've also fed my rabbit kale, and she likes that, but I don't feed her too much of it. Digestive-wise, it seems like it's better just to have maybe one leaf of kale. So when you buy that, I've learned to love to eat kale myself, because I've sometimes had too much kale in the fridge, and when you have too much of it, just fry it up with a little bit of garlic and some olive oil. Put your kale in there, all cut up and cleaned, and when cook it for about 3 to 5 minutes, and then sprinkle a little Parmesan cheese on it, and then you won't have to worry about your kale going to waste. As far as fruit goes, you can give them just a little bit of fruit each day. Rabbits get a sweet tooth, and if you feed them too much fruit, then they will decide to boycott all the other food and just eat, you know, what you're giving them of fruit. So, and also, it's not necessarily the best thing for their teeth and their digestive system if you feed them too much fruit. So when I say a little bit of fruit, I mean a small sliver of apple a day, or every couple of days, or maybe an inch of a banana. Or what we do is we give a dried, you know, those rabbit banana chips for people. I'll give her one of those chips a day for her fruit. And it's kind of nice because I get them for humans, so I can nibble on them too as I'm giving them to her. And if you give too much fruit, you might get loose stools. As well, don't give them, I recommend that you don't give them the gourmet rabbit pellets that have all those crunchy things in there, like nuts and raisins and looks like these colored crunchy things. My experience has been that I used to think I was spoiling them, giving them the best food out there, and it turns, and of course the rabbit loved it, but it was getting loose bowel movements, and it was got to the point where it was really serious. I had to bathe the rabbit almost every day, and the rabbit was lethargic, had to go to the vet eventually, big bills for that. Turns out that I was just giving it the wrong food. The staple for its food should be a good rabbit pellet made from Timothy hay, and my recommendation is the Oxbow Pet Products. They have pellets called Bunny Basics slash T. That's T as in Tom, Bunny Basics slash T. And that pellet is made from Timothy hay, and it doesn't use a lot of binders, which some of the other companies use, like molasses, to hold those pellets together. Well, this is really designed to meet the nutritional needs and maintain complete digestive health in a rabbit. And let me tell you, speaking from my experience, I got into Oxbow hay when my rabbit had a problem a few months back. Probably it's been about 4 months now. And where it was loose stools, diarrhea every day by feeding the gourmet food with all the crunchies and nuts and good stuff in there. And I'll tell you what, after the vet bill and her recommendation to change the food went to the Oxbow pet products, to the Bunny Basics slash tea. And I'll tell you what, we haven't had a loose, well, we had one loose day, but I think I was feeding it just a little bit too much of the greens. But other than that, in about, you know, 3, 4 months, not one problem with the digestion since. But I've been really relentless. I have not gone back at all to giving her that, you know, fun food that she loves. Now, when I switched to Bunny Basics tea, it took her about 5 days before she would eat more than just a tiny bit. She was, you know, they recommend that you slowly change them over a week. You know, kind of use the ratio thing, half and half, you know, of better food with the old food, and just kind of have it, you know, go over a gradual basis. For me, my rabbit was so sick that I couldn't give her the gourmet food anymore. It was at the point where I was worried about her life. Also, they make the Oxbow Pet Products also makes Western Timothy hay, and it's like a long grain. It looks like dried grass, and you should give them a handful of that a day. It's good fiber for them, and they love it. Actually, Wabbert, my dwarf bunny, wasn't crazy about the hay, but Grace loves it. And I give her a handful of that a day. It probably would be the equivalent of a couple of cups of it. I give her that in the morning when she comes out into the bathroom. She hangs out in the bathroom, you know, during the daytime for her exercise. I have a big bathroom, so I'll get more into that later. So, where can you buy these Oxbow pet products? Well, if you have a feed store, you can tell them that you would like that food. Most of them don't carry it. It's just so good, and it costs just slightly more than normal rabbit pellets, but not much more. Maybe, a bag might be, instead of $6.99, it might be $8.99 or something like that, or instead of $8.99, $12.99. So for the few dollars difference, it's really worth it to buy the better food. So you could go to your feed store. Most pet stores, many of them won't take requests, but the feed stores will. And just tell them that you'd like them to order Oxbow pet products. Or you can just go online yourself, be empowered, and you go to the Oxbow pet products website and you can order it right there. Now their website is www.oxbowhay.com. So that's spelled www.oxbowhay.com. When you order it, give yourself at least 2 weeks. It takes about 2 weeks. Now they have UPS delivery, and it's a little bit pricey, the delivery, so buy a bunch at one time so that you can save on shipping. But it takes about 2 weeks, believe it or not. And I'm like pretty local, I mean, I'm local in the brain, but I'm also, in this context, I mean, I'm not in like some rural area, but it still takes about 2 weeks. So I've found myself before getting to the point where I've run out and had to use other stuff for a couple of days. And if you have to accelerate the shipping with this company, it is absolutely incredible, the price. So give yourself 2 weeks. It's expensive enough with UPS, but get enough that you have enough going for about 6 months, so you only have to pay the shipping the one time, and you only have to think about it. But put it on your calendar or something, to check on your food so that you don't forget, because you do need about 2 weeks before it comes in. It might be a week and a half, but it's not less than that, let me tell you. You'll also want to make sure your rabbit has fresh water daily. Some rabbits like a bottle, the water bottles in there. I found that I can't find any that don't leak a little bit. Wabbert, my dwarf bunny, liked a bottle. And my rabbit Grace does not like a bottle. She wants her water out of a bowl. So I got one of those bowls that clips onto the cage, and it actually fits, and you twist it on and off. The stand itself stays on the cage, and the bowl just twists on and off. Get yourself as big as you can get, because I've got the smaller one and I have to fill it twice a day. So if I had to do it over, I'd get the bigger bowl. And give them fresh water, because that will keep them healthy and keep, have them not have any problems in their bellies by having water that's got God knows mold or anything. So clean out the bowl, keep it fresh. I just, wipe it out every, few days with toilet paper or whatever as I'm cleaning it, and then fill it with good fresh water. If your rabbit, you find that it's getting loose in its bowel movements, you can make sure that, first of all, you're giving it the right food. Give it the, like I said, the Bunny Basics slash tea Oxbow pellets and the Western Timothy hay. You can also cut back on the fresh vegetables for a day or so. And that usually is what fixes them up. And of course, if they're loose, don't give them fruit. And again, no gourmet foods, nothing that has all those crunchies and seeds and everything in it. It just will demolish your rabbit. And also, some people think that just giving a rabbit a carrot and some iceberg lettuce is what they need for the fresh veggies. It's not really enough. It doesn't have the right vitamins, and I've heard of people's rabbits dying, and they thought that, they were raised on Bugs Bunny or whatever, where, every rabbit likes a carrot. Well, they do, but they need more vitamins than that. And as far as iceberg lettuce goes, while it's convenient, you don't have to wash much of it. It has almost no vitamins in it, so it's just basically filler water. So if you can avoid that, that would be great. Number three, let your rabbit out daily for exercise. Now, rabbits, you know, for a humane situation, it's really nice to get out of the cage for them. Think about if you were in a cage, you probably would really look forward to getting out. Most rabbits are naturally like cats. They're litter box trained, if given a litter box. So what I do is I got literally a cat litter box, the kind with the top on it, and it's got a hole that they go into, and I put pine chips in there, the pine shavings, and she goes right in there, and that's what she uses as her litter box when she's in the bathroom. I have a big bathroom, and the reason I say I put her in the bathroom is some people don't have a problem with this, but many rabbits, they like to chew things like cords, like your cords that go to your electrical items, strings. They like to get behind furniture and start gnawing at the furniture, and if your furniture is such that you don't want that to happen, then you want to put your rabbit in a confined place. Now, if you had a tile room that you could put a gate on there, and you could stow away the cords in such a manner that they can't get to them, and have the furniture in such a way that they can't get behind it, then that would be ideal. And in fact, I'm probably going to be doing that with my loft office at some point. But for now, I put her in my big master bathroom, and she has a lot of fun in there. There's no cords for her to get. She did find once a little piece of linoleum that she grabbed at and started pulling at, and I had to put a flat stone that was about 6 inches by 4 inches on that area so she wouldn't completely demolish it. But all the other areas that weren't raised, like where the linoleum was in great, you know, shape, was flat and all that, she hasn't caused any problem with that. Occasionally, Wabbert used to chew the wood a little bit in the bathroom, around the doors. And I found this stuff that's organic. It's natural, but it's called Keep Off. And I just, when the rabbit's not in the room, because it's terribly pungent, I spray those areas where the rabbit might be chewing, and it stays, she stays away from that. I don't have a problem with chewing with Gracie, although there's been a couple of times where she started to, and of course that Keep Off spray kept her off it, you know, because it was kind of bitter tasting. So they like to get out every day, and even if you can't, you know, like put them in a bathroom, another thing that I do is I'll just open up the cage in the room that she's in, and I kind of already blocked off all the cords and stuff, but I'll like sit on the floor or lay on the floor, and Gracie comes out of her cage, and I might, you know, find something to do in that room for an hour, and she just hangs out with me and hops around. Of course, if you do something where you're really focused, they can drive you crazy, because they seem to always want to get into corners and drive you crazy by doing something, you know, like scratching or whatever. So when you're up there, just keep in mind that they really like to interact with you, and you can't do anything that requires a whole bunch of your focus, because it could drive you crazy. So, but that helps, and I do close off the doors to the other rooms when she's out like that, because I have had the wonderful experience of her slipping into my daughter's room, which I would say has more stuff under the bed than I would like to, or anyone would like to admit, and she's gone right under the bed, and of course it was a heck of a time getting her out of that. Meanwhile, I could hear her scratching and biting and doing things that only my imagination could anticipate. And it was a horrible experience trying to get her out. I think we ended up finally lifting up the mattress to get her out of there, because she just wasn't going to come out. So close the doors off. If you let their cage open, you know, you'll at least, if you could see where they're at and you've closed off the places where they could get that you couldn't get at them, that would be an immense help, and certainly a lot less worry for you. And as well, when you're trying to get them back in the cage, it's pretty easy. you don't even have to pick them up, because if you kind of go to them and as if you're going to pet them, they, you know, scamper away from you. Sometimes they go in the opposite direction that you want, but eventually they know that their cage is their sanctuary, and it may take 3 minutes, but, you know, eventually they'll scurry back and hop right back into their cage. In my case, the door is close to the ground, so I just put a little stool underneath the door, and she just hops the 4 inches up and gets herself into her cage. So in that kind of situation, this particular cage, the rabbit trail large cage, is really good, because it's on the floor on a stand. So on a very, 4-inch tall stand, so she can get in and out. Of course, if you have to put her in yourself, that brings me to another point, which is, I'm skipping ahead to lifting your rabbit, number 6. You can either lift them straight up into your arms, right side up, and hold them close to your chest. Watch their feet so that they don't scratch you. But make them feel nice and secure, and usually that's not so much of a problem. For my husband, does it that way. He does it right side up, and me, I scoop her up and have her on her back. Her back is supported by my hand and arm, and she's close to my chest, and she's upside down, and she's really docile that way. So I do it that way, as scooped almost upside down, you know, like as if she's laying on her back. When you're trying to lift them up, don't panic as far as, you know, grabbing them. They hop around a little bit. Eventually, you do catch them. It only takes a few minutes. They eventually tire out, and you can get them. So you don't need to panic on that. So let's see. We are up to number 4, though we have already done 6, spaying and neutering. I highly recommend that you spay or neuter your rabbit. Spaying, of course, is females. Neutering is males. What this does is, oftentimes when a rabbit starts to become an adult, which often happens, I think it happens before they're 1 year old, they can get grouchy, both the males and the females. You may notice that they get a little bit more grumpy. They can get more aggressive, maybe a little bit aggressive, maybe a lot more aggressive. It's varying degrees. But in any case, the spaying and neutering helps maintain that wonderful, gentle personality. Now, I'm not saying that a rabbit doesn't once in a while get a little perturbed at you and make funny sounds even when you do spay and neuter them, but it's really, that's normal stuff, and it's not really aggressive. It's just they're annoyed. But they can get more aggressive when they go in heat or when they're frustrated, as in the case of the males. So it's better to spay and neuter them. It really doesn't cost a lot of money to do it. It's not usually any more than doing a cat. And I recommend you go to somebody who's done rabbits before. But my vet did it, and he's a very good vet. And I don't know if he ever did a rabbit before. At the time when I took Gracie in to have it done, I didn't know that there was specialist rabbits, but now I do. And now she goes to a bunny person. But he did a good job. Now, Wabbert, he was a male, and I never did get him neutered because at the time, 12 years ago, I didn't know that that was something that, you know, was a good thing to do. Now, Wabbert got a little bit grumpy a lot. And my guess is that if he was neutered, he probably would not have been as aggressive. Gracie has her own personality, and although she can get annoyed at me sometimes, she's not an aggressive bunny. Sometimes she can really, if I play with her and I've tossed a paper towel roll to her a few too many times, she might get a little annoyed and make funny sounds and seem like she's presenting herself to me. But it's really, she's harmless. But Wabbert used to juggle his bowl in his cage when he got mad, and my guess is he was a little frustrated because he had all the tools but, you know, nowhere to use them. So I would recommend that you spay or neuter them. Keep their personalities nice and as gentle as possible by doing that. The rewards are well worth the whatever it costs. I think for me it was about $50. Maybe it might be slightly more, but you know, it's really not that much money. It's probably what you spend on lunches in a week or two, depending on how often you go out. So better to just get that stuff done. That stuff lasts a lot longer than having lunch out for a week or two. So, number five, shedding. Well, it seems like the rabbits shed a few times, 3-4 times a year. I don't know what the official amount of time is, but they're either beginning to shed, in the middle of shedding, or at the end of shedding. And then they have a couple of months where they're fine, there's no shedding, and then it starts all over again. One of the things that you can do to minimize the hair, well, first of all, you have to realize that they shed and you're going to have some hair. That no matter how much you brush and comb, you're going to get some hair. Just got to learn to eat hair. And there's things you can do to minimize that by vacuuming more often in the corners of the cage and the corners of the room where the cage is and where they hang out. You can also brush or comb the rabbits. Both my rabbits didn't like to be brushed or combed, hated it. Gracie can't stand being brushed or combed, and frankly, I haven't found any comb or brush that really takes the hair out really well. You brush, and it just seems to go right through it because their hair is so fine. And on top of it, they don't like it. They don't put up with it for very long. Well, I found another thing that seems to work pretty good. You can, and it's kind of fun to do. I very, very gently, I'll see the little tufts of hair, you know, the fuzzy parts that are coming out, and for some reason I really get a kick out of gently pulling that out, and there's some satisfaction in having a clump of hair come out, you know, when you just lightly pull on it. Now, as far as Grace goes, she hates it when I do it. It doesn't hurt her, because when I'm telling you, I'm doing it gently, I really am, but she just can't stand it. So I have to kind of trick her, pet her on the head a little bit, and then I'll grab a little clump of hair. And then calm her down again, pet her head a little bit, because she loves that. And then I just very slowly kind of pet down the back end, because at the back end's where most of the hair is coming out, you know, the hind quarter area, and I'll just grab a little bit more. Well, the gently pulling on the hair doesn't happen in one sitting. I usually have to do it, you know, over a few days, pulling out a little bit more, because she gets very irritable with me, and she makes funny sounds and starts to assert herself, and, you know, I just kind of laugh a little bit, giggle, and smooth her down and tell her that we'll continue it at another time. So that's what works for me. That really gets the hair, you know, kind of out. And the reason I do that is because rabbits can get hairballs, and they do get hairballs inside their system. They're like cats. The only difference is that cats throw up hairballs, and rabbits can't throw up. They just don't have the capacity for throwing up. So I try to eliminate, because rabbits are like cats, where they clean themselves and they get hair in their mouths. So the Timothy hay helps to expel some of that hair, but without the Timothy hay, which is the fiber, and without being able to throw up like a cat does the hairballs, you could have digestive problems caused, you know, inside the rabbit. So I try to minimize it by, you know, gently pulling out the shedding hair, also giving them the Timothy hay. And there is such a thing as hairball medicine, which I've had, but I haven't used it very often, so I can't really say if it's great or not. If anybody else has experience with that, I invite them to write me at cleblanc@charter.net and let me know their experience, and I'll share it with everyone else. I don't use it very often, and haven't for a long time, so I can't say if it had any bad effect on the rabbit, but they do make it. It's called Petromalt. It's just like the cat stuff, but it has a rabbit picture on it. I don't know if the ratio is any different, but it, you know, looking at it, it looks the same as the hairball medicine for cats. But I don't know. You know, it might be different. So might be better to stick with the container that has, that says it's for rabbits. Let's see, I've already touched on lifting them up, how to do that, so I won't go into that. Number 7, bathing them. Every now and then you do have to bathe your rabbit, especially if they have digestive problems. The way that I've done that is, for Wabbert, my small rabbit, I was able to put him, usually it was just the back end, like from the underneath the armpits down. He used to get diarrhea a lot because at that time I was feeding all that wonderful gourmet food. And plus he was very, very particular. He was one rabbit, he would starve himself, you know. He ended up getting diarrhea a lot. So I had to bathe him often. And Gracie, I had to do the same. Gracie, I couldn't do her in a sink. What I would do with Wabbert is I would fill the sink, and hold him in there underneath his arms. And I would let him soak for a little bit in lukewarm water. Not cold, not hot. Just lukewarm water. And, just warm. Maybe slightly more than lukewarm, but definitely far from hot. And I would let him soak a little bit. He was so calm. He was great. If he ever felt a little insecure, he might, kind of like stamp his feet once. So when you do it, make sure everything's cleared off the sink area so that the cleanup, if they splash, is not so difficult. And also have towels ready for them. I would put one over the toilet seat cover and have it all ready so that I could go straight from the sink to toilet seat cover, and I would gently, very gently dry him. Their legs and bones are very, very fragile, so when you dry them, be very gentle with especially the legs and the extremities so that you don't break a bone accidentally. If you're careful, you don't have to worry about that. Like I said, Wabbert, I would do him in the sink, and he was fine. He would actually fall asleep in my, as I would hold him. And he loved it. I was very gentle with him. He often got dried on fecal material, so I had to kind of soak him a little bit. And I would use the Johnson's baby shampoo as the shampoo. I'd have it open, and I got very good at being a one-handed way of putting the soap on my hand with one hand, and the other hand, of course, was supporting the rabbit. One hand, you can't take off the rabbit, otherwise it'll hop right out of the sink. So you just have to learn to do that, or better yet, have somebody there who can help you by, you lift the rabbit, it's soaked, you lift them up, you kind of soap in, with the shampoo, lifting him up just a little bit, and then, put him back in the water and really rinse well in the water. Make sure all the soap is out. You don't want to get any infections or whatever. I mean, obviously, if we had soap in some of our crevices, it might cause some irritation, so we try not to do that with the animal either. Gracie, I couldn't do her in the sink. She just is too nervous of a rabbit, and I tried it once, and the whole mirror, everything, I was completely covered in water, and there was more water all over than there was in the sink itself. So for her, I lift her up and put her in the shower with me. I pretty much put on my bathing suit or a pair of shorts and plan on getting wet, and I have one of those shower heads that comes off, and it's got like a hose with it, it comes off, and I put her on my lap upside down, like with her back on my legs, and I hold her underneath her arms, and then I use the gentle and just warm water with the shower head, and I usually have somebody helping me, either my daughter or my husband, handing me a dollop of shampoo, of the Johnson's baby shampoo, to wash her, and also to hand me the towel afterwards. And I just plan on getting wet when I do her. But you do have to wash them when they get soil themselves. So if you don't wash them and you just leave it on them, then they will get infected. And that is very uncomfortable for the rabbit. you can imagine what it feels like to have your skin bare and burning because, you haven't been able to clean yourself. So, you want to keep them clean and bathed, and you'll save the discomfort for the rabbit. Also save the smell, and you'll also be saving vet bills that will come, or possibly the life of your rabbit. So that's what I do. You could do it in the sink, you could do it in the shower, you could try it in the bath. But plan on getting wet and have lots of towels nearby. And keep your patience. Just know that it does take some patience to do this, and you'll get through it. And after the shower or bath, I don't have to do I've never had to do her head or her ears. So, maybe someone else could lend some experience on that if they have some, if it's needed and why it would be needed. But it's usually the hind end that needs to be cleaned. After they're done, dry them as well as you can. I don't use a blow dryer because it scares them, and but I do keep her out of drafts, and I keep her in a reasonably warm room, like the bathroom, and till she's totally dry. And the drafts, if she was in a draft, she might get sick, so I try to keep her away from that. Okay, number eight. Okay, number eight. Okay, we're wrapping up with the last three basic items. Number eight. Well, something to keep in mind. I know it's not a pretty subject, but stool problems are mostly caused by improper diet. Such as when I refer to stool problems, I mean the loose bowel movements. They can also be caused by lack of quiet. If the rabbit is very nervous, being petted or picked up or jostled or maybe put near the air conditioning unit or something that's noisy, or near maybe your dog who is agitated by the rabbit or excited by the rabbit. All of those things can cause stool problems, but most of the time, the most predominant reason why is from diet problems. And again, you'll want to use the Oxbow food, Timothy dry hay, and no more than a small handful, a cup or a cup and a half, depending on the rabbit size, of the greens every day. And that will relieve three quarters of the problems, maybe even all of them. So, number nine, teeth. Now, I have read and been told that the rabbit's teeth grow constantly, and that for many rabbits, it's very common for them to have teeth that grow so long that they can't eat right, and or that it grows through their lip, or they may even have abscesses on their teeth. So you may want to check periodically at your rabbit's teeth and see what kind of shape they're in. I know that that is not something that's easily done. So if you can't do it and you can't get someone to help you to do it, then you might want to take them, every year or whenever you suspect a problem to the vet and have them ask them specifically to check the teeth, because you don't want to have any problems. A rabbit can even starve to death if the teeth grow too long and they can't eat anymore. Now, I haven't had that problem, but again, I've always put a teething wheel in my rabbit cage, and they have utilized that. So that has probably helped quite a bit. And of course, I give it toys such as old paper towel and toilet paper rolls that they like to chew on. They also like to chew on the cardboard egg crates. So, that probably helps keep them a little bit in shape. But the stone wheel is what probably really helps a lot. And so keep an eye on their teeth so that you don't have problems with that. And again, if anybody has some experience with that particular aspect, I will be more than happy to share. But I do know some people that have had abscess problems with their rabbits, and they had to end up feeding them with a eyedropper, mashed food. So it's something that you want to try to at least observe and keep a close eye on. Nail trimming. Now, a rabbit's nails on their feet grow relatively fast, and every couple of months I have to trim my rabbit's nails. Now, Wabbert was he looked like a Himalayan, but his nails were dark brown, and it was real hard to gauge where to cut. And when I talk about where to cut, rabbits are like dogs, and I'm not sure if this applies to cats, but to dogs, they have what they call a quick. It's like a vein that is inside the nail. And I guess people have that sort of thing too, where you start to see, you know, the white part of the nail is the part that you can trim, and the pink part is the part that's attached to your skin and, you know, could cause bleeding if you chopped down into that part. Well, a rabbit, it's the same thing, but their nails just look different, as you know. Gracie has white nails, so I can see the quick. I can see where it looks like skin inside the nail, and I always trim, you know, where I don't cut into that pink part, because it could bleed. And I don't know, but I would guess that it might be painful as well. So if you don't feel comfortable trimming them yourself, then, you know, go to the vet. It's not very much money, you know, $5, $10. Your vet may even do it for you for free, depending on how much business you bring them. But you'll want to trim the nails. Otherwise, the rabbit can get caught up in the cage and can tear a toenail off or even break a toe if you don't keep up on that. And as well, sometimes if I've been a little bit delinquent in doing it, they start to, you know, kind of like, they get so long that they start to kind of go towards the side a little bit, and that's when I know, Cindy, you better get the clippers out and trim these nails. I do it with my daughter. I turn Robert on her back, you know, in my lap, hold her securely, very securely, and my daughter takes toenail trimmers, you know, human ones, and we use that to cut them. And she's very careful when she cuts the nails. She's very careful not to cut to the quick, and as well to keep her face away from the rabbit, because if every now and then the rabbit gets a little bit surprised or maybe a little wary, the rabbit could kick and you know, hit somebody. It's more startling, but if you keep your face as you're cutting away from the rabbit's paws, then you won't have this problem. It's never happened to us, but I imagine it could happen if this rabbit was startled. Sometimes the clipping, like, they're fine, and then they hear the clip, and then they get a little startled and kind of kick a little. So the person who's holding the rabbit just holds the rabbit securely, you know, on their lap, upside down, usually works well. Like I said, cradling their back, and my one hand is underneath her armpits, basically, and I, you know, have her as flattened out on her back as much as I can while still being comfortable, because then she has less leverage to kick. But the two of us, my daughter and I, we cut her nails about every 2 months. But if I didn't feel comfortable, I'm sure I could just bring her right to my vet, and he would do it for me for probably, a dog only costs about $10, so it's probably not much different. And they may even have their assistant do it, but that's a good way to do it if you just don't want the aggravation. But they do need to have their nails clipped. So anyways, that ends all the tips, the basic 10 tips that I could give you. I'm going to have one quick announcement, and it is my favorite animal sanctuary is called Best Friends Sanctuary, and it's located in Utah. And they recently came into some rabbits that needed rescuing. So I'm going to just read a short thing on this, and they could use some help from people. So here it goes. It says, "No shortage of Easter bunnies this year. At the Best Friends Rescue Ranch outside of Reno, Nevada, they're still being born at a rate of 40 per day." And this is a side note, that they had rescued some rabbits from someone who had them in their backyard, started with a few rabbits, and they started breeding, and they pretty much, there was like hundreds of them in their backyard, and they needed to get them cleared out. So best friends came in and took them on, took them to the ranch, and are trying to get many of them adopted, especially the ones, many were pregnant, and there was baby bunnies and other pregnant rabbits, and they're trying to get the babies all adopted out. The adult ones were pretty much took on the wild role, so they're going to continue on in a backyard kind of situation, but they're trying to at least get the baby bunnies adopted out because they can still be domesticated. So back to the article. It says, sure, they're all separated by gender now, but this is still the fallout of what was being engendered, so to speak, before best friends got started in this extraordinary effort. All told, there are about 1,200 rabbits at the rescue ranch, and more yet being gathered up from their old backyard as they emerge from their underground warrens, usually with babies. Okay, so it says how you can help. It says one of the things you could do would be to alert your local media. Everyone's looking for cute Easter stories at this time of year, and we sure have cute video, including a shot of the flying bunny. But there's a message in all this. Lots of people buy rabbits from pet stores or other places for the kids at this time of year. Or, you know, they just want to get a pet for their rabbit. I'm not just talking Easter. Well, a few weeks or months later, when the novelty is worn off, the rabbits end up at the local shelter, or worse. Some people just let them out in their backyards and say, go fend for yourself. And, of course, usually their domesticated rabbits have a hard time on their own, and, you know, bad things can happen to them, and often do. So, back to the article. So, if you have contacts at your local TV or radio station or newspaper, please let them know about the Great Bunny Rescue of 2006 at the Best Friends Animal Sanctuary in Utah. Direct them to the website, which is www.bestfriends.org, and then there'll be info, photos, and there's even some video about this rabbit thing. And then, or you can also write an article for your paper on it, you know, based on what you see in this website. So go to bestfriends.org and you'll get more information. Another thing you could do if you felt like it would be to, well, not just felt like it, but had the commitment to do it, would be to adopt a bunny. Baby rabbits can be adopted as pets as soon as they're old enough to be spayed or neutered. The older ones prefer a backyard rabbitat, and for up to, say, 10 bunnies. They won't be house pets. That's the adult ones. That's the ones that kind of were in the backyard situation that, you know, kind of went wild. But they'll be a delightful addition to your household. And best friends will definitely guide you through a simple setup. If you can't adopt a bunny, and you, whether it be a baby or an adult, you can also donate. So you could also donate to the Great Bunny Rescue. For example, if you wanted to donate $50, it would provide special medical care for a single bunny. $100 provides not just the medical care, but it'll also spay and neuter the bunny. And boy, if you really were generous, $500 takes care of a group of 10 bunnies. It'll get them fixed and will help place them in a new home in many different parts of the country. But I'm sure that they would take any donation. If all you had was $5, I'm sure that they would be grateful for it. So, again, go to www.bestfriends.org, or you can call them at 435-644-3965, extension 4723. Again, that's 435-644-3965, extension 4723. So you can also go to their website. They have bunny gift cards and other gift cards, and you can go ahead and send those cards to friends and pass the word along, or make a donation in someone else's name as a tribute kind of gift. I've actually made a tribute gift to a dear pet that had died, so I made a donation in their name, and they posted a little blurb on the website for that. So that was kind of nice. So anyways, I'm going to close out for now, and I wish you all a wonderful week, and I'll be on again in, I usually try to do these as my time permits, but it usually ends up being about every 2 weeks, one podcast. So in the meantime, thank you for listening to My Rabbit Grace podcast, and I'm Cindy LeBlanc, and send me your feedback, suggestions, or tips, and I'll be sure to put them on. My email is cleblanc@charter.net. That's cleblanc@charter.net. And again, thank you for listening to My Rabbit Grace podcast. Thank you, and have a lot of fun. Thanks for your patience.